Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And you know what I'm feeling?
I just want to say
Hold on.
Okay, I just want to tell the people, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. Thank you for our new Patreon fans or our new patrons. We really appreciate it. Juan Epp is dead.
And back. Juan Epp is dead, like democracy in this nation.
Oh, we got to talk about it.
Yo, I bet you haven't listened to this, Sife, but this right here, such beautiful Saturday and Sunday vibes.
Uh-huh.
And we need some peace this week, so let's let our brother Mac Miller talk for a second, just for a second. To get everyone in the right mood.
It's a vibe.
Well, this is what it looked like. Right before you fall, stumbling around, you've been guessing your direction, except you can see it all.
Saif, can you believe when we met this kid that he turned into this guy?
I don't have a name, no.
Like, he was a... He remember, the main thing we talked about with Mac when we first had him on Juan Epp was about him using Lord Finesse's beat to freestyle on.
Yeah, that was a very ill moment.
And then he turned into this friggin' genius.
Is this? I never listened to Mac Miller. What is this from?
Saif, I'm going to tell you this right now, and I've never said words to you I mean more sincerely.
Okay, wow.
Now that you've become like, I'm not to say you haven't always had diverse music tastes, because you've always had diverse music tastes, but it seems like now you're even more, like, your palate is wherever. Mm-hmm. Mac's two last albums, Circles, which was posthumous. It came out after, but it was done already. Mm-hmm. And Swimming. Mm-hmm. And they were supposed to go together. Swimming in Circles. They were supposed to go together.
Right.
Some of the best Cypher sounds, clean the house Sunday vibes of all time.
Nah.
You don't think so?
I can't be, because I wouldn't listen to rappers.
He doesn't rap? It's not rap, though.
It's not rap?
He raps on like a third of the songs, but even when he raps, it's not.
It's like folky, kind of.
It's like soulful, folky, R&B rap.
I'm not saying I won't check it out.
You're just trying to get the box. You're trying to figure out where it goes.
I'm not gonna do Saturday, Sunday, clean the house vibes.
Well, listen. When you listen, after you listen, tell me where you think you put it, okay, in the Cypher sounds.
That's fine. I've been listening to a lot of stuff lately where I was just like, I'm going to play this whole thing and see where it goes. Like, I listened to that kid, I don't know how to say it. Amine. I like his album a lot.
Amine's album's good.
I like his album a lot. He's really
How'd you end up listening to that? I feel like it got really slept on.
Because I liked his old song, Reel It In.
Mm-hmm.
That Reel It In song is in my like my hot playlist on my phone. So I was like, let me go ahead and listen to a whole project from this kid. And he's really good.
The Amine album's really, it surprised me how good it was. I played a few joints really off that.
And then I've been on hardcore UK. I'm still on my UK.
You're still really on the UK.
UK drill is my shit. And then I've been on my Rasta reggae, like Kabaka Pyramid and Protege. That's Sunday clean the house music.
Here's an Amine joint I like.
Amine.
This is the one with Summer Walker.
I'm more of a winter runner kind of guy.
You are the worst. And on my shit. And I played this one on my show, Vince Staples joint.
That's not the new album.
Yeah.
I don't know that one. I know this ship is sailed and this is dead. I'm singing R.I.P. I'm singing R.I.P. What album is that? Yeah, I got
that. Limbo.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know what's so funny? I was in the airport and I heard that Britney Spears line, and then I got a phone call
from Britney Spears.
And I never finished listening to that song when I put my headphones on. I just skipped it because I assumed it was the last song I was listening to. So it's funny I missed that one. I didn't know that line.
It's a good tune. And what was the reggae-ish you said you're on?
Kabaka Pyramid and Protege and Chronics. Like
Kabaka Pyramid. Okay,
Kabaka Pyramid is woo.
Album is.
Here's the thing with Kabaka Pyramid.
Same Prayer. No, that's a single.
I don't. The albums. I have no idea what the albums are.
Contraband is an album.
Contraband is fire. Kabaka Pyramid is a fucking incredible rapper.
But he's not a rapper.
He does more reggae now, but he came up as like a hip hop artist. Like he wants to be a rapper. Well, this one's more reggae-ish. Play Contraband. Original. Play the song Contraband. Skip to the middle. Go ahead. I must the reggae music, nothing else. Now I've a chance. Lord. Watch out. I say, hey, Mr. DJ, play that one again. Well, this a reggae music where the people, them defend. And from now till the morning, vibes in over end. I'm way up. I'm way up. And see these things for packaging. Elder putting, shipping and the handling. These accusations are damaging. Them said them heard reggae artists trafficking. See? Is it the master plan?
See, when you hear soulful Jamaican vibes like that, the only face you picture when you hear soulful music like that is the palest, whitest, loudest voice imaginable. Our friend Mike Rappaport. There
Mike
he
Rappaport.
Is.
Now, are we on the radio or where are we at here?
No, this is a podcast. Like, it's you have one. You understand these things.
All right, I'm just asking because, you know, like the PG. Oh,
no, no.
Like,
you can go full Donald Dick Stain today.
Yeah, we're on the internet, Mike.
All right. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what you guys are doing. I don't know. You know, you guys do. You're on so many different forums, so many different platforms.
I know.
Two things, though.
You
Mike.
Know,
two
PG
things.
This, PG-13, right. Comedy shows, radio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just getting the lay of the land here. I mean, what you know, there's NFL football on.
I know. What's the score right now of the Bills Colts game?
Indiana 10, Buffalo 7, and there's almost halftime.
All right, we'll get by the time halftime's over. You'll be back to football. You'll be good.
We're sorry to interrupt, Mike.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, what the fuck? Like,
now, here's the deal. Two things. One, maybe turn your phone so we get the landscape.
Oh, yeah, we need a full
view.
Shot. I need a, oh, yeah, yeah, look at go. That. There you go. You need the full thing right there.
All right, okay.
And then two, okay, you got it?
Yeah, I got
He's
it.
Got it. Two, you have enough trust in us to know whatever platform we're on, it's going to be good. We can count on that, right?
Listen, when you water it down as much as you guys water it down, I don't know. I can't really say that. Listen, I'm not hating or judging. Get the fucking money. But I'm just saying, you know, like, listen, when you're doing as much as you guys are doing, I don't know, you know, which one is which. I don't
well,
know which
on.
Way is up, but I'm just happy to
What do you What do
I'm
you have
be
besides
here.
I Am Rappaport, your hit podcast? Is that your only number one thing right now?
No, because I've seen this guy in the comedy clubs.
Yes. But as far as my podcast, I only have one podcast right now. Like, I only have one, you know, digital thing, and that's the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. But as far as other things, like, you know, I mean, I'm doing other things, you know, you know who I am. I'm Michael Rappaport, to quote the Kevin Durant.
Apparently.
Now, are we talking music? Are we talking sports? Are we talking pig dick Donald Trump? What are we talking?
We literally just started. So Syph and I haven't even talked once this week about what's happening. And generally, Syph has not a ton of interest in what's in the bullshit of the world. But this week was so fucking insane that even Syph Sounds was like, yo, we got to talk about this fucking week. And I said, I know we should call Mike because I know Mike has a lot of feelings on this week. And Mike, tell me where you are. I literally... And I've gotten a lot of my visuals of what happened from your Instagram page. Like, a lot of the shit I've seen has been from you or Ebro or wherever. I, as crazy as it was on Wednesday, and I had to go on the air and do the K show in the middle of it, I truly don't think it registered with me what we've seen until, like, the last 36 hours. Like, really what we saw.
I mean, you start to see more stuff. The next day, I have so many thoughts and feelings about it. The thing that sticks out the most to me is I knew there was going to be the protest. I knew there was going to be problems. I talked about it. I tweeted about it. I did that. And the only reason why I knew it, I'm not one of these people, I told you so, is because of what I was seeing on the internet. Like, I was seeing. And when I saw that tweet that Dick Stain put out, January 6th, I'll see you all there. It's going to be wild. I knew. I don't understand how there was such, you know, when you see the videos of people breaking into the Gucci store and the Rolex store and Melrose Mac and the sneaker stores on Fairfax, they had crowbars. Some of them had to really fucking work to get into the 40 people out there with crowbars and shit. There was no crowbars to get into the Capitol. Uh-huh. Like, the fact that they were able to get to the doors was crazy. You know, also the fact that people are so enamored with this guy that literally wouldn't take a shit on them. He wouldn't piss on these people. The fact that they're so,
I know,
you know, like they think that somehow, some way, like, he cares about them is also the most is wild.
Not at all.
Fact that they're willing to risk it all, and they did risk it all. Some of these people got killed, people got injured, people are gonna, you know, go to jail for a guy that, I mean, we're, as New Yorkers, we just know that he doesn't give a fuck about any of these people.
You so, talking, Mike, you talking my so, shit so, right now.
I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg, those three things. But I mean, there's, it's just, and to be honest, it's crazy because, you know, you start to think about how vulnerable you are, because if these motherfuckers could get into the Capitol building so easily, mm-hmm. I mean, it was so easy. Like I said, there was a store. There's a store on Melrose called. It's like a famous sneaker store called Second Chance or Not Fight
Club.
Not Fight Club, but that was another one. Like, Round two.
Oh, round two.
Out there for about an hour trying to fucking wedge their way in there and pull the gates. It was harder to get into round two than it was the Capitol. And that's what's, you know, and round two's a little spot. You know, that's crazy to me. You're is right. Like how easy it was. And then, you know, we could say, oh, Pelosi this, Mike Pence that. If they had gotten a hold of one of those people, who the fuck knows what would have happened? Like,
people came
in there with bad intentions. Some people just came in there. But, you know, when you see the people with the zip ties and their, you know, that mob mentality, I mean,
bro. Yo, I legitimately was worried. It didn't even cross my mind in retrospect. Because I didn't think it was possible. I had a friend hit me because I'm from D.C. My dad worked on the Hill forever. I have friends and family work on the Hill. I had a friend hit me like, yo, your people good? I'm like, yeah, they're going to be fine. 24 hours later, I'm thinking, yo, what about AOC? What if they had seen AOC?
Yeah.
They would, if they had gotten a hold of Nancy
it's
Pelosi,
it's terrifying.
They would have killed Nancy Pelosi, or she would have died of a heart attack. Like, this is not, this is, you know, this isn't the Fendi store.
This isn't a secret store, it's the Capitol building.
And, you know, we all could gripe and complain about our problems with the government, but, like, this shit is crazy.
No, it's nuts. It's nuts. And the thing is, like, I'm not in this world at all. I don't follow this shit at all. And I knew something was happening Wednesday. That's how big it was, where even I knew, I don't know exactly what's happening, but Trump's calling for people to do some shit on Wednesday. I didn't know why. Now I realize in retrospect that they were counting the votes of the Electoral College. But I knew something, that some nonsense was going to go down on Wednesday. If I knew, how the fuck, why wasn't there any precautions put in place?
Well, so then I got to ask you guys, so how far do you go on the conspiracy of it all? And were there people who thought, yo, let them come in?
Yes.
Let them come in. And it may not even be the people. And who were the people who thought that? Because you could argue it was the Lindsey Grahams and the Mitch McConnells, the Republicans who have turned into Trump's bitches because they're heartless swine, who were like, yo, we're never going to get out from under this guy. If we let them come in, it'll get so bad that we can finally sack up enough
I can get behind
to leave.
That, but 100%. The fact that they were banging at the door while all those people were in there is like, yo, yeah. Like they were, you know, maybe they didn't.
They wouldn't
no,
have ever cut
man.
It that close. You don't think they would have cut it that close?
I mean, that was close. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's fucked up. It's a historical day. It was beautiful that Trump got deleted off of Twitter. And this is my opinion about Twitter and Facebook and all that shit. For somebody who has been suspended off of all the social media platforms because of language, like I got suspended off of Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Now, I won't get suspended off. I can tell you why I got suspended off Twitter here, because I don't want to get suspended off. When I got suspended off Twitter because either Twitter did it or there were people complaints. But when Laura Ingraham, the Fox chick with the Botox face, she can't even close her mouth. And like she's always like this.
She's one of the worst human beings. She's
when
one
she
of the worst
the
human beings who's
LeBron
ever walked
James,
the planet.
Shut up and shut the fuck up and dribble. I did a rant and I said blah 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 blah, shut the fuck up and dribble these nuts, and it got so many complaints that I wind up getting suspended off of Twitter. Now I didn't like it, right? It's no fun, you know. No one likes ever getting sort of, you know, that's a loss, right? I have to chalk that up as a loss, but I'm not going, you're fucking with my free speech. You don't do the crime if you can't do the time. I got suspended 3 months in 2020. 3 months. Three separate 30-day sentences in the fucking hole on Facebook. I mean, you know, for various things, for the same type of thing. It's usually language and stuff like that. Again, I don't like it, but you don't do the crime if you can't do the time. These people that are saying it's free speech and all that stuff, it ain't free speech. You know, and you don't do the time.
It has nothing to do with
you don't do the crime if you can't do the time. This guy incited a goddamn fucking riot amongst all sorts of other shit and the false information
in the Capitol.
You don't like it? Now find another place to fucking talk shit. That's it. If they ever kicked me off one of these places, I know it would be. I know it wouldn't happen because I know what to say and I know how to say it now. But it is what it is. It's like you guys have worked in radio. You know, friends have come and go. People have gotten fired for various things. You know, there's rules and regulations in life. You know, you don't pay your fucking ticket. You know, you're at a parking meter. It expires. You get a ticket. Like, as crazy as I sort of come off, like, I understand these basic rules. The fact that this fucking dog, pig dick Donald Trump, and then his followers and all these other fucking lunatics are saying free speech. It ain't free speech on these platforms. It's just there's rules and regulations in life.
No, you click a button that says agree. You're agreeing to their terms. You don't read the terms,
so when
but
you
you're
get
agreeing
that suspension,
to
suspension, when you get that 30 days,
you
in
have
the
a
hole,
contract.
You just got to do your push-ups. You got to do your sit-ups, and you know you got to stay focused. That's what I do when they lock me down.
Well, listen, Donald Trump isn't doing push-ups or sit-ups. Here's the thing: we always talk on the morning show about how life has become a TV show, right? And we're like, yo, this last season in America, what a crazy season.
Yeah.
Now, I think a lot of people thought the Biden win was the series finale.
No way.
But no. It was the season finale. And episode one of the final season was Wednesday.
That was the premiere.
That was episode one.
Why do you think it's the...
Yeah, that's the premiere. That's
I don't know how long...
No, it's the premiere of the show or the premiere of a new season or a spinoff.
Yes,
I think it's the premiere of the new season,
but it's not the final season.
I'm just hoping it's the final season. They could add more seasons.
Let me tell you something. This guy Donald Trump, he's not going to be the president anymore. Now I'm assuming he's going to be some kind of cult leader,
which he already is.
Yeah, but he just had a facade.
Hey, if they don't
impeach
him and he's alive, because this fat, unhealthy fuck, you know, I mean, 4 years is a long time when you're a chicken McNugget, a Big Mac, root beer drinking motherfucker at that age.
That actually sounds delicious.
But, you know, unless they impeach him, four years from now, he's definitely running.
I was reading this thing today. That was like everyone's like, it's 10 days. Just let it go. No, if we impeach him, he doesn't get the Secret Service anymore. He doesn't get the travel budget. He doesn't get the 200K salary. He's not able to run again. Impeach him.
This week, to me, there were two big winners this week in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Those winners were the two craziest people I know. My father and Ebro.
Right.
They both had the biggest told you so's to the world. My father's warning me about this Wednesday forever. He lives in D.C. He's like, the hotels are full. He's been saying coup the entire time.
Yeah.
I keep saying it's over. He goes, there's a coup happening. We may not know there's a coup, but there's a coup happening. Trust me. Ebro's been saying for 4 years, if they don't convict this man and put him in jail, then the precedent has not been set. He has to go to jail.
Yes.
And I was always like, I hear you. In both cases, they were right. Now, in my dad's case, Saif, yes, you may not see it as a traditional political coup, but they literally went in to stop the vote and say, we're not going to allow a new president. That happened.
It wasn't a coup. It was a cuckoo.
It was a cuckoo.
But listen, honestly, I'm telling you right now, that shit on Wednesday was a mess. It was a disorganized mess. But let that shit get slightly more organized and those dudes pull out the guns that they all have, it could have got.
But, and by the way, how did they... thank God it wasn't worse. How was it not worse?
How
though?
Was it not worse?
They had so many guns.
They're the derelicts.
I don't, Mike, I can't understand how it was only one person who got shot. It could have been a complete bloodbath if one of those guys pulls out a gun.
I don't understand why it wasn't. Like that picture of those, like the guys in the Senate chamber with their guns pointed at the door.
I know.
How did they not pop off? They're inside. They already breached security.
I mean, as fucked up.
Pop
I,
off.
I agree. I don't know how there wasn't more. On I don't know how there wasn't more blood. Yeah, I don't know how there wasn't more bodies. And you know this. You know this whole argument now. Like, is it, you know, the because I watch all the news. I watch Fox. I listen to right wing podcasts because it's like, you know, my father, you know, said to me, he watches all that shit because it's like, if you're a Giants fan, you want to know what the Patriots are saying in their huddle. If you're a Yankees fan, you want to know what they're saying, right. what the plan is of the Red Sox. So I watch all that shit and I listen
I agree.
To all of it. Like I almost listen to more of that now than I do the other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to hear MSNBC. That's how you
exactly.
feel. You don't need to
know but,
more
you know,
of it.
They're
you know
saying,
it.
You know, because this art, you know, we all know that if it was pretty much any other rally, a Farrakhan Million Man March, if it was the Black Lives Matter, which is filled with a lot of white people, probably more white people at these organized things,
yes.
you
more,
know, because they're making
more
it seem
white
like
people.
Black Lives Matter are just yeah. black people. But we saw them.
Yeah,
they
no.
had the
it's fucking, more white people.
The choppers. They had the Black Hawk choppers when this fucking guy wanted to walk across the street for that photo op. I just don't understand how
yeah.
there was no people out there. And yes, you know what? If it had been any other, like it could have been abortion rights. It could have been any other thing. It could have been pro-life, anti-life, any of that. Yo, it would have been, mm-hmm. they wouldn't have gotten that close. I don't understand how they got there. Like, I don't understand how, if Ebro's saying it,
I
was
don't
saying
get
it,
it. They...
You, Saif, who knows nothing. Yeah, I think you're stoned out of your mind. You can't even open your eyes right now. I don't know what you're on or what you wait. You seem like you're like Spicoli, Fast Times at Ridgemont High level. You're burnt. You're shot. And you knew. And that literally, to get into the fucking sneaker stores, it was harder than it was to get into the Capitol. I don't give a. It's fucked up, man. It's fucked up, and I just don't but I don't understand that shit. And you know, I mean, I've been pushed around. I've been arrested. People have been harassed. I mean, where were the chokeholds? Where was the knees on the necks? Where was the Eric Garner shit? Where was the fucking Rodney King batons? Like, where was that smoke? I don't understand.
Where was the tons of tear gas that should have been popped off? Like, listen, they're at the front door. They're expressing their First Amendment rights. Great. When they started breaking that window, how is that happening?
That, well, listen, I'm not with
but
the
it shows,
and I don't laugh in the face of people dying. But that woman who got shot, she came there for smoke. She came there for smoke. She came there to risk it all. That was yeah. one shot that was off. Like, I'm surprised it wasn't like, boop, like he didn't unload the clip.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't more of that.
By the way, also crazy note, you know that guy, the guy who shot her, was immediately taken off duty and suspended with pay.
Well, I understand
immediately.
That, but,
yes. Immediately while they would investigate. Now, I don't have a problem. I get you have to investigate. But as we've seen a million times, we have to fight and claw and people have to be in the street to get these people taken off duty when they kill a Tamir Rice. This guy was protecting the government, fired one shot. Guess
Is
what?
He?
That dude's black. Just for the record.
What?
I
didn't you see his hand? Didn't you see the gun in the video?
No. But I fucked with
I'm pretty.
Him.
I'm pretty sure that dude was
team.
Black
Yo,
and was
the,
instantly
was,
gone.
Did you see the security guard?
I know. I fucked with that guy. He held it down.
Did you see the security guard like kept the black. I think he was black, and he kept backing up.
Pussy.
And then he went up the steps, and they kept just like,
"What the fuck was you doing? Like, yo, you're pussy."
Yo, pop off. They don't have like taser. Fine, you don't want to bust shots in the Capitol. Where's the taser? Where's the
Yo, why not have a line and just say, "Here's a line 20 feet in front of the Capitol today. You cross this line, you die. That's it." Like, I'm not for violence ever.
They put up the fence in front of the White House during Black Lives Matter within a day. And they had they had that line. They're like, "Yo, you cross this line, you getting popped."
I don't get it.
It just shows though that this shit. And I know, Syph, this is the shit you've been on forever. This shit is so deep ingrained in us from slavery that it's okay to beat and kill black people. You can't even touch white people. They're scared to even touch them. Even these bottom of the bunker, disgusting trash.
They're not afraid of
people who you wouldn't trust to hold the gas pump to your fucking car.
They're not afraid of them. And
no.
They're not afraid of those white people.
Who's not afraid of
who? They're afraid of black people because of
the cop.
Trust me, I don't want to say what I wanted because it's not karmatically right.
No, I know. Yeah, exactly.
There should have been more violence towards the people breaking in the building. And let me tell you something. Like I said about social media, like, you know, my motto, my slogan is disruptive behavior. I've been like that my whole life, but I also know there's consequences. I'm not a criminal, but if I ever broke into someone's house and I got shot, I wouldn't be like, "Yo, they shot me." That's part of the fucking gig. You know, like,
yo, like, bro, I say this all the time. Like when everyone has their t-shirt, like, "Yo, free little Bobby." No, he was selling coke and got arrested. That's the game. There's no free anyone. He's got to sit for a while. He lost the game.
And there's rats. It's all we're talking about criminals. When you're doing criminal shit, they're gonna continue. Like when they're like, "Yo, he's a rat." Like, yo, what the fuck are you talking about? This is all part of the game. Some people might deal with it differently than others. It's like, you're criminals. You're fucking criminals. Like, I'm not like, let's.
You're criminals. They call it the game. That, "Yo, I'm hot in the streets. I'm hot in the game." Yeah. There's winners and there's losers.
I don't know, man, but
does anyone ever talk shit to you on the street? Any of these little
you mean in regards
pipsqueaks?
To like,
anyone ever say a word to you?
Never. Only on social media. Never.
You've. I was gonna say no. Isn't it funny? Not one lives in Los Angeles. Not one. I've seen Mike Rappaport in the street many times, just wandering the streets. What are the odds? Not one of these little bitches on social media has ever seen
kind
you.
Of bitches? Like
the kind who talk shit to him in his comments. These racist pigs who think that Mike's a snowflake. These people who hate me too. We're snowflake, sellout, disgusting. You know, we're actually white people who love black people. So we're scum of the earth. Mm. Where are those people? When Mike's completely identifiable, recognized, bright white face is walking down Rodeo Drive, where are they?
Not even white.
No, they're. You know, social media is. You know, I think they're all Russian, and I'm sure some of the people that threatened me were at the. at the fucking DC on Wednesday.
It's this is crazy.
What do you think, Trump? What do you think his goal is? Like Talib Kweli put out a dope tweet. He was just like, "Trump is the Joker and just wants to see the world burn."
He wanted that.
Like, what was his goal? Or does he was like, "Fuck it, I'm just like, fuck it." Like, basically, he flipped over the checkers table. Like, fuck this.
Like, think, like, you know, like these people were really, you know, like there's a sensible side of him.
Do what he says.
Being deranged. So there's probably thinking, "Oh no," but I think for the most part, I think he was like, "This is all for me. This is all for me. Like, I did this.
Yeah.
And this is all for me." And he probably didn't think they were going to get in there and it was going to go that far. But when they showed up and they walked down there, like, "This is all for me." I mean,
but what was it when I saw a video where the guys are walking in the hallway and the cops just move to the wall and let them walk in?
Yeah, I don't. This I don't understand that part.
Like, are those cops in on it? Are they KKK? Proud Boys?
One of the people that I was, they were talking about as far as procedure. When you're outmanned, you have to, you know, let that go because it'd just take it to the next level. But
okay, I understand.
I don't even
that.
Know how
I
you get that. Get that far. I don't even know how you get that far.
But how? So at first. I'm sure you guys have seen the video. I know, Mike, I'm sure you have. The very first confrontation with those three cops in front of the Capitol. Saif, I don't know if you've seen it. The first time, these guys don't know what's going on. They're just completely undermanned, and they start fist fighting. They're like, yo, and they start throwing punches with these people. They get completely overrun. So once they're overrun, right?
Right.
And then you have to retreat. I get it. So you retreat because you need...
Yeah.
But the point of the retreat, I would imagine, is that there's a point you have to block. So we're going to keep retreating because they're not going to get on the fucking Senate floor.
Quickly.
They got on the Senate floor.
The guy sitting in the chair with his fist up, whatever, like, how did they... Oh.
And you keep backing up to the point. Like, how do you not get to a point where now you're outside the Senate floor? If one person steps in here, there's 50 people with guns and you all die.
Yeah.
They didn't. They kept backing up until they just came in.
And just gave up.
There needs some fucking explaining. There needs some fucking explaining to be done.
Yo, we are going to be watching documentaries and movies about this day for the rest of our lives. It's forever this happened.
We're laughing, and it was a horrible run of events, but it could have gone, in a couple of tweaks,
it could have gone way worse.
Hey, Mike, go enjoy your Saturday and watch some football. We just wanted to have your voice and chat you up a bit.
What are you talking about going? My Saturday's been
fucking... We've ruined it. The whole thing, we've ruined...
Take it away from me, okay? The whole fucking day.
We've ruined the whole day?
I'm not one of those people that... No,
are you on the West Coast?
My energy, my wife walking around here. She doesn't know who I'm talking to.
It's not even noon, Saif.
The whole day's been ruined.
You're on the West Coast. You still got a whole day ahead of you.
Nah, I don't get over things easily.
All right, Mike. Thank you, dude.
I'll see you guys later.
Oh, there he is. Mike Rappaport.
I
would promote his podcast, but it's already so popular. I mean, it's I Am Rappaport. The man's making... He's money hand over fist.
Yeah.
Now, Saif, I just lined up a very special guest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You want me to get him on here?
Yes. I guess if we're doing that. Let's I had see. More shit to say to Mike, though, but whatever.
I felt bad. You had more?
I wanted to talk about my theory. Can I say this real quick?
Yeah, please.
He said something in the beginning of his rant, and it was more about Trump than what happened Wednesday is mostly what we're talking about, but... I do feel, as a New Yorker, born and bred...
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're from New York?
I understand Trump more than these people around the country. He's speaking New York. I'm not agreeing with him. I'm just saying I understand what he's saying. Like, the shit about the years ago when the coronavirus came out, and he said the
years
shit
ago.
About drinking the Clorox... As a New Yorker, I understood what he was saying. He was saying, as a New Yorker, in a fast New York way, hey, what's in the Clorox that kills the virus on the outside? Is there a way to get that same thing to kill it on the inside?
Right.
Which is like, yeah, what is it? What is in Clorox or whatever it is that kills the virus on the outside? I understand what he's saying, but then it's like, he's an idiot. I mean, he is an idiot, but he's an idiot. Why would he say drink that? And I go, as a New Yorker, nah, he's got something there. He got something.
He just does it because, but here's the thing, because he's not a particularly bright New Yorker.
Correct.
He's like,
correct.
He doesn't add the, yo, obviously you can't drink Clorox.
Right.
But what I mean, he doesn't have that line.
He jet fanned it.
Yeah.
He jet fanned it.
Like a Jet fan who would be like, yo, but why can't we just get so-and-so to play? And it's like, well, he's not even on your team, sir. You can't get anyone. All right, here we go. I'm going to get a big-time guest here. You're going to think, how do I have this much pull?
Right, right.
But I do.
I love it.
You ready?
Yeah. Oh, you're calling somebody.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
not going to use the Zoom technology.
Nah. I think this is safer. Let's see.
I wonder who it is.
Hello?
Hey, Dad.
Hello?
Dad, you hear me?
No.
Well, you...
call on the house phone.
Wait, okay, I'm going to call the house phone. Goodbye.
What?
All right, I call the house.
Ah! Do you hear me?
Wait.
No.
How is that possible?
Call a house phone. Is it a landline you're calling?
I'm calling a landline.
It's a landline.
You can hear me, right? You should be able to hear me.
Hello?
Dad, you
now I hear you.
You hear me good now?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with my ears.
All right, can you hear Sife? Sife, say hello.
Hello, Dad.
Hey, hi, son. How, I can hear you both.
Oh, good.
Well, Dad, I we were just talking to Michael Rappaport about everything that happened.
Uh-huh.
He has his own interesting perspective. But
right.
I was giving you credit because you had been counting down, basically, while everyone was celebrating Biden, to what you knew was inevitably going to be a disaster. So I haven't asked you, was this the...
Wait, am I on the air now? Am I on the air with you right now?
Yeah, I don't normally talk to you on three-way with Scythe in an interview voice.
In a
broadcasting style voice.
Yeah, you can't tell that I'm doing this is a broadcast style?
No, you just sound like yourself.
Well, so no...
Scythe sounds like, you know, he's for real.
I'm not on the air anymore. I just do this crap.
No, all right, so Dad, so yes, on the air, was this what you meant when you thought there'd be some sort of disaster, or did you picture more of like an organized coup of some sort?
Well, first of all, as Mom would testify, because she hears me on the phone, I told everyone it was happening January 6th.
Yes.
Everybody would say, oh, if we could only get through January 20th. I would say, nope, January 6th. Because, you know, I thought that the certification business would be their moment. Was this what I thought would happen? That they would storm the Capitol during that vote. Yes, that's what I thought.
Did you think how far did you think they would make it if they were going to do something like that?
I thought there would be like gigantic crowds, and that they would, and I thought that when I saw the first pictures of
Me
it,
too.
You know, on television, I thought, okay, well, they're going to get there. They're there, but you know, they're not going to get in. They're going to push.
How could they?
Yeah, how could they?
How could they get into
and, you know, crowds like that? I mean, I've been to enough demonstrations myself at the Capitol and at the Pentagon and places like that. The crowd always pushes forward,
right?
Which is sometimes really scary.
Yes, I bet.
But they're always, if there's a key target that you're trying to, you know, make the point to, you're pushing forward. So, but you never, I don't like when we demonstrated at the Pentagon against the Vietnam War in '67. I don't think any of us thought we would actually get into the Pentagon. I mean, that's ridiculous. Also, what would you do when you got there?
That's what.
None of it. But that's different. That's totally different.
But that is what happened.
That is,
they got in and they looked like a bunch of teenagers.
They're like, yeah, what do we do now? And then,
right.
Where was the tear gas? Where was the rubber bullets? Where was any type of shit that happened with other protests that we've seen?
No, a friend of mine wrote, I said that to a friend of mine, he wrote back, wait, come on, give the D.C. and Capitol Police a break. Didn't you know about there was a black teenager crossing against the lights up in Georgetown, so they were all... they were busy.
No, it's a great point. So do you have any theories? Do you have any theories onto what happened? Like, obviously, it can't be as simple as they didn't know and they were undermanned. Because if you've been talking about it every day for weeks, and you told me when I was home over the holidays, you said the hotels are all filling up. You said everyone knew. So then, do you have a conspiracy theory as to how it happened?
Before you answer that, Pops, I just want to say, there's got to be a system in place in D.C. when there's an influx of travel and hotel, right? Like, someone has to get alerted for that, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, also, you know, there are more closed-circuit television. Is that what it's called? CCTV? What are they called?
Yeah, closed-circuit, yeah.
Where they're always watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all. I mean, they're all over. I mean, it's like everywhere in D.C. More than even New York. Well, that which I guess sort of makes sense. They have to have. You would think. I mean, never underestimate the ineptitude of the United States. I mean, of the United States government. I mean, after all, I'll just name two instances, Vietnam, Iraq War. I mean, they really think they're obvious to everyone else. And you would say, well, how did they not know this? How did they not know they'd be bogged down in Iraq and they wouldn't accomplish anything? How did they think that they were going to go to Vietnam 10,000 miles away and defeat the people in their own country? I mean, so I think, but here's the thing, and I'd have to ask someone or look up. How are Capitol Police hired? My impression is that that there is a way you can get the job, that there, like, it can be shortcutted. Now, I'm talking about the D.C. police, but the Capitol Police, by congressmen sponsoring you. Mm. And think how many congressmen are racist, right-wing, Southerners, whatever. Yep. I'll look that up. I have a friend I can call and ask that. But I think that you know, the D.C. police in general has always been, until very recently, a white and very racist police force, which doesn't ever make sense about D.C.
Right, of course not.
But it was, and it has lots of racists on the force still now. So I certainly would expect that there's no difference,
yes,
if not much worse, at the Capitol.
Yes. Okay, there's racists in the police force and security and the military and all that good stuff. Great. If a bunch of black people were coming at the Capitol, yes, we know what would have happened. But besides them being racist, like, they were still attacking the people they're sworn to protect. It's not like there was a bunch of black people in the Senate and they were like, go ahead, let them go get the black people.
Right.
There was white people in there.
No, and white racists. They didn't even protect their own racist congressmen.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a good point, but I think if they identified with the people, if they are people who look like them and who they can tell by the way they talk to them, you know, wanting to have their pictures with them and all that, they're not going to assume that they're going to go in and try. I don't think they understood that. They did. I don't think they knew that they were coming in to literally. Look, the fact that they were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence," that doesn't mean that they really thought they would. We now know there's no question they would have if they could have. I mean, but I just think there's just, it was, I think it's, I don't think it was, I just don't think it was any kind of a conspiracy or anything.
Why would they chant, "Hang Mike Pence"?
Because Pence, in the eyes of Trump, Pence sold out Trump because Trump believed that Pence could single-handedly overturn the election, basically.
How?
That's their thing. They mythically, on their media, I mean, on the internet and everything, they spread the idea that a vice president, because he's the one who does the count,
can
throw out the ballots and say, this election was fake.
Oh, I see.
I'm calling a new election. This is, of course, ridiculous, because throughout our history, there have been numerous vice presidents who have been the candidate for president themselves.
Most notably, Al Gore in 2000 had to be the one who told Maxine Waters, when Maxine Waters said, Florida's fraudulent, and he said, well, do you have anyone who's signed on to say that the Florida vote is fraudulent? And Maxine Waters, in this great moment, in one of the ultimate, you know, powerful black woman in Congress moments of all time, just says, I don't care if anyone signed it. And Al Gore says, well, let the record show that it does care if anyone who signed it. And Al Gore had to sit there and sign off on the end of his campaign, even though he had a million times more the right to fight than Donald Trump did, because he lost by 500 votes in one state.
You know, Richard Nixon did the exact same thing. He only lost by 100,000 votes, and it might have been stolen. And I mean, there's a lot of, the historians will never know because of, you know, the involvement of the mob in Illinois and all kinds of stuff. Nixon knew that. He knew that he could contest it. And, he didn't contest it, and before he declared Kennedy the winner and him the loser, he made a speech about the way our democracy works, and this is why America is America, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, come on, this is established. I mean, because so many vice presidents have run for president, and they've lost, and it's their job to announce who wins.
Right. It's actually, when you think about it, if you're not dealing with barbarians, it's actually a really cool thing because it can help,
yeah,
it can help ensure the peaceful transfer of power. And this is such a,
right,
this is such a big deal because, and I understand that there have been, it's, listen, I understand that bloody transfers of power are a thing in the world and in history, and even in this country there have been times when it hasn't been as clean. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing that's supposed, the entire air of bullshit that America is better than other places, Dad, doesn't it solely rest on the peaceful and supportive transfer of power? Isn't that supposed to be what makes us not like these quote-unquote, you know, these lesser than, yeah, that we look down on so much?
Yeah, that is one of the two, which is, turns out to be a lie now. But the other one, of course, is that we're a democracy, which has been a lie since the very beginning. So we're just predicting the whole, you know, all this is, you know, just lies and myths. And not that other countries don't have lies and myths, but
yeah, but they're not so self-righteous.
They're not. You know, they don't. They don't call themselves the last great hope of mankind, which is one of, you know. You know, this is.
What do they call the president?
The idea.
What do they call the president? The leader of the free world. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What does that even mean? The free world. Was the president leader of the free world when there were slaves? I mean, and also, what the hell is the free world? I mean, how do they have the nerve to say it? I mean, it's, but they do. And you know, one of the things that has driven me crazy, and I'm sure Peter knows that I've been saying it his whole life, when people say, you have an argument about something, and they say, but at the end of the day, this is still the greatest country in the world. I always say, what does that mean? Greatest at what? Healthcare? I mean, life expectancy of its citizens? Equal treatment under the law? I mean, where does this come from? And why doesn't...
It's a greed thing. It's like you can do anything you want in this capitalistic country. You can get whatever you want if you fight for it. If you make it, great. If not, oh well. You're just a casualty in this capitalistic war.
Yeah. That is
so
really,
we can do
what
whatever.
It's about
money.
It's about money.
Yep.
And you know what? I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I also want to play the game. I want to win and be rich. I don't want to do whatever I have to do and hurt people. But I don't want to move to a socialistic country. I want to play the capitalistic game. But it's out of control right now. It's out of control.
Yeah, I don't quite agree with that because I personally would prefer the socialistic game. When I'm reading about, I was reading this article about how in the, it was about Israel and distributing the vaccine. Israel has its, God knows, its horrible racism and problems. But in terms of distribution of the vaccine, the government, it's all just done by your local health care center, which is the government.
Yeah.
And the government will tell you, will get every single person, except of course the Palestinians, but let's forget that part. But
yeah,
every single person will get a telephone call saying, okay, it's your turn to go today. Oh, you got to go for your second vaccine. We don't have anything. And that's, of course, I just happened to read that article about Israel. It's also true about the UK and France and Germany and all these socialistic kinds of countries. And what kind of thing is this? That when people want to get their a vaccination, you're going to call the CVS, and CVS will say, "Oh, we're out. Oh, I should try Rite Aid. God. Oh, I heard you should go to Duane Reade."
Remember,
what kind of country is this?
We couldn't get a handle. We couldn't get a handle on the distribution of the Popeye's chicken sandwich, yo. So now we're trying to distribute this vaccine. This is disgusting.
Exactly right. But, you know, any country, I think you just answered my question. What makes America the greatest country in the world? It's that Popeye's sandwich,
baby.
That could only have been created. I mean, come on. That's
you know
it.
Who, and by the way, I will give credit where credit is due. What? Who's my dad?
My dad is Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec. He hates the government, but he works there. What the fuck is – what's he doing?
Well, no, he's retired. He's retired, so he can now sit.
But I'm retired. I work. You know, look. Part of the thing for me is I did work in that building. I mean, in Congress for 20 years, and I know every nook and cranny. I also know that when I first started working there, there was no security. There was no need for security. And then after 9/11, they started checking the bags, and we all got ID cards, you know, staffers, so we could walk in, but we still had our bags checked. And I'm watching this thing the other day, and they're carrying bags. These bags have guns in them or explosives or whatever. People who work there can't carry bags without them being checked. Well, I mean, so they were opening the doors, not the doors where the, you know, the check things were, but just doors that are never open to the public or to staff.
What, there's no protocol. There was no protocol when you worked there if something like this was to happen?
Well, you know, there were instances of, you know, there were like, you know, there were attacks and lockdowns.
Well, don't bring up the one to Seif that happened in the 50s. It could hit home with him.
Oh, I don't know. Oh no, that was probably he's got those guys' pictures. On his
it was the the Puerto Ricans who came in for Puerto Rican statehood. Yeah.
I mean, come on, attacked Truman? I mean, come on. there's always been some security, but as far as people ever, wait a minute, I think what happens is with every disaster like this, you model your response on that disaster. So, for instance, nobody can ever – the business about taking off your shoes. One terrorist on an airplane struck – put the match in his struck the match on his shoe or whatever he did, and that was it. From now on, you have to take your shoes off. Yeah. Well, maybe the next terrorist is going to have it here in. Well, actually, the next terrorist had it in his underwear.
Right.
The underwear terrorist, the underpants terrorist.
Yeah.
They ignored that because it's too embarrassing to make people take off their underpants standing on line. So they said, okay, we'll forget that.
No,
one.
They didn't.
Even
they
though
didn't,
actually,
they didn't forget that one. That's what the machine that you go through. That scans you.
Oh, right.
Right. It can see your underwear.
Yeah, that's true. That was the New York Post had one of its greatest headlines when that guy blew up when the guy blew up his underpants. The headline was "Great Balls of Fire."
that's right up there with Headless Man on a Topless Bar.
The New York Post is very good on that.
That's the one thing they're good on. All right, Dad, thanks. Yeah. I just wanted to talk for a little bit. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, well, hey, and Seif, it's nice to see that you're getting big in this world. Man. I see your followers. Things are going
good.
I'm
killing it. Thanks, Pops.
Good. Keep doing it.
All right, bye, Dad.
All
love
right.
You.
And okay, take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
There he is. MJ Rosenberg, ladies and gentlemen. The great.
Bro, every stereotype about an old man yelling on the phone.
Oh, my God. I mean, that was – now I'm going to follow it up with this picture that I recently had my parents give me. Look at this picture that I have of my parents that I keep in my room here. It, on a kibbutz together in, like, 1970. Wow. Look at this.
Wow.
Is that not a gem? Look
that
at that.
Is a gem.
You see the resemblance
that
here?
Is a gem. No. I don't think that's your
dad. That was the man who was just screaming on the phone like a crazy person. But he's actually been, it's funny, a lot of people ask me, like, oh, he must be so upset. I'm like, my dad, for you to think he's upset would mean that because he worked on Capitol Hill, he had some sort of expectations or, like, thinks this place is, like, great. My dad is the main reason that I've been such a skeptic my whole life because he saw up close how bad it is.
Yeah. Man, what a fucking week.
I don't even. I hate how often when talking about it, I end up landing on, Oh, it's just so fucking crazy.
Yo, it's just
but like,
so
it's just where else
crazy,
do you go,
man? But I'm telling you, Handmaid's Tale could have went down, man. It's like,
that's the number one thing I've taken away from all of this.
It's perfect Donald Trump. He could have organized an actual coup, but he's such an idiot, he couldn't even do that right.
Here are the two things. You asked a question earlier. I think that what he's doing is he's not going to go to the inauguration. He's never going to concede because, and we talk about this a lot on the radio, he has to continue with his brand. He's raised $250 million since the election.
Yeah.
So he needs to gather money, because A, he's a greedy pig. B, he knows he's going to be prosecuted the second the presidency ends, so he needs money for that. And also he wants to keep people, if he were to concede, you saw how dumb these people were. They literally got in there and were like, what should we do? Should we call Trump on the phone? They were like high school kids who broke into a school and didn't know what to do when they got in. So they're bona fide, literally morons. Like, they're missing brain. So in order, if he were to ever concede, they would go, whoa, 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 not our guy. He's no fucking loser. So he has to keep fighting the fight to keep the battery in their back to get the money.
This is like wrestling. It's all wrestling. Like, he has to keep it up because the thing is, he loves that they chant his name, right? And more than being the president, I think he was like, damn, I could have just, what if I just figured out a way for them to keep chanting my name and I didn't have to do all this fucking bullshit work I got to do as president? Like, he ran for president on some bullshit and then found these squad of people and was like...
No, he ran for president because he loves getting his name chanted so
and
much.
And found even more, like, more chants.
It kept getting bigger and bigger. Yo, I recommend for you, because I know you travel a lot and you listen to things. Yeah. Whenever I go to WWE recently, instead of listening to music, I started listening to books. Yeah. Listen to Mary Trump's book, his niece.
Oh, I heard about her, yeah.
His niece's book.
She breaks it down.
And by the way, it's not like she's like, doesn't know him. Like, she knew him the way a niece would know him. She had times when she was close with him. She had times when she wasn't. She worked with him at one point. He fired her from working. Like,
whose daughter is she? His brother's?
His brother's daughter. I think his brother Fred's daughter.
Fred.
So, and Fred was like the fucked up... alcoholic one.
Right.
She was his daughter, I believe. So Mary Trump's book, she's also, it's amazing, she's also a psychologist. Mm-hmm. So she's not only going from memory, but she's breaking down what he is because she knows it. And when you hear about his childhood, a couple of things stand out. Number one, it's really sad. It's like the movie The Joker. Uh-huh. It's seeing how an evil person gets made. She explains he got no attention. His mom was gone. His dad doesn't give a shit. The only attention he ever got was when he started talking shit and being an asshole. Yeah. It started working. Yeah. And by the time he's a teenager, it's done. That is what he does now. So when his dad put him in charge of stuff, his dad knew he was a nimwit and thought of him as a nimwit. However, he was willing to do the brash shit that wasn't in his dad's personality.
And so his
dad capitalized on it and was like, just do it. I'll let you do it. You can have this building. You can have that building. You can do this. You can do that. You're a fucking dummy, but you will make our name and bigger and our brand bigger.
Whatever shit you're talking and whatever you do seems to be working for this angle of what we want, which is the name to be bigger, marketing.
And to make more money. And that's it. So he was an asshole and he didn't care. So number one, he that's what the feedback he got. But number two, he is, and I say this as someone who on a tiny level can relate, you know, because we've talked about this on the podcast. Mm-hmm. My struggles with ego and internet and feedback and needing things and a lot of work and the fucking divorce, and I've had a lot of time to be in a much different place at 41 than I even was at 36. And I'm not perfect, but I've at least understand it a lot better. Mm-hmm. I have this tiny, and people like us in our business and entertainment, we all have a tiny bit of it. You get high from the crowds at comedy shows. You all of you do. And you're a pretty sane comedian. We've met the ones who fucking, they need it desperately. Mm-hmm. Trump, when he gets feedback, the second the person stops saying the compliment, your plane is so nice, your apartment's so great, your wife is so hot, the second the words are out of that person's mouth, he needs more. It never is. That's why the book's called Too Much and Never Enough. Yeah. That is the Donald Trump story. Too much and never enough. So when he started the birther movement against Obama, mm-hmm. and the racists started loving him and exalting him, he finally had his people.
It was a byproduct. He didn't know that was going to happen. Not that way.
He didn't know that these poor white trash who he would never talk to in his life, he didn't ever think.
That's another thing I wanted to say to Rappaport, like on some New York shit. Like, are you, like, man, I don't want to think that people could be this dumb, but the guy you hate, a fucking Yankee, a slick-talking New York real estate guy, fucking got you? That's the guy you always talk shit about, like, I ain't no New Yorker gonna come down here, and then he got you.
The number one!
He got you.
And not only that, it's not even like it was hidden. That's been his brand his whole life. Even before people hated Donald Trump and we just thought of him as whatever, his brand was slick-talking New York real estate tycoon asshole.
Any of those people that stormed the castle went to get one of his apartments, they would be fucking kicked out immediately. Like, hey, I'm trying to get a penthouse over here on 63rd Street. Like, yo, we need police immediately.
So, it's just absolutely crazy. And the one thing you said earlier that I was thinking about what we've learned from this, and you said Handmaid's Tale. My number one lesson is my last thing I'll say on this this week. Anything can happen.
Yeah, anything.
My mom had fear. My mom got her Polish citizenship done. My brother, I think, has his. I still have to finish mine. My mom was like, I want everyone to get Polish citizenship because if you're Polish in descent, you can get it.
What?
My mom went through the full process and got... My mom has a passport from Poland now.
Awesome, like, get the fuck out shit.
And I was... And listen, I'm like, Mom, it's cool, but I'm not going to leave, so anything could happen.
I would do it.
And the idea that, like, yeah, there'll never be another Holocaust. It's impossible. No. You're telling me those people who those people in the Capitol wouldn't be down for another Holocaust?
100%.
They wore shirts. You see the shirts?
Which one? Like what?
One said, I think, Camp Auschwitz.
Oh.
And I think on the back it said something like 6 million's not enough.
Oh.
These people, my mom was right. And it took her war-ravaged post-Holocaust brain.
Yeah.
That trauma. Her trauma that kicked in. It's like, nah, this could happen.
I don't even have that trauma, and I say it. And everyone, you guys all laugh at me, my conspiracies, and my fucking Cypher's a fucking anarchist or whatever the fuck. Yo, anything could happen, man. Like,
now
we know. I'm actually surprised it hasn't happened. Like the George Floyd shit. The George Floyd shit was like, yo, we could do whatever we want. We can do whatever we want. And you're going to take...
Okay, last question. Oh, wait. Anything can happen. We agree on that. What do you think happens now? He's banned... As of when we're doing this, he's been banned from Twitter.
Those people...
He jumped on his other account, which is hilarious. You saw that, right?
What's the other one?
He jumped on the POTUS, the official POTUS account, and was like, I'll be back.
The POTUS. Oh, so the one he always uses wasn't the presidential one.
It was his personal. It's been 4 fucking years, and no one I feel like except me has really taken the time to appreciate the president of the United States needs a reel in front of his Twitter name.
Who's at Donald Trump?
He couldn't handle getting at Donald Trump. He's real Donald Trump. That was like when I was making screen names at 18, and I'd be real PMD, real PMD 1, real PMD 2. This guy couldn't get Donald Trump. He needs a real in front of his name. I dare you to find the other political leader in the world who needed a real in front of their social media account. God. At real Tony Blair, you know what I'm saying? What's up? At real Justin Trudeau, the fake Trudeau accounts were just out of control. Yo, it's me, at real Angela Merkel. It's great. You can't.
I'm the real Mandela.
Yo, I've been in jail 27 years. I'm tired of these fake Mandela accounts. At real Nelson Mandela.
All right.
Okay, so so the Twitter account's gone. This has happened.
I think I personally think everything's going to go smoothly. The 20th, security's going to.
Will they impeach him?
Huh?
Will they impeach him? Do you think they'll impeach him?
No.
I think they'll fail. I think they'll try and fail again. I think the Republicans won't convict him again.
And also, there's a lot. Like, everyone. Okay, this is what I've been saying lately. The politicians, they're in for the long. This is their game. Politics is their game. They're in for the long haul. They used Donald Trump for 4 years to get whatever they could out of him, the same way that they shut down Obama for 8 years because they're like, I'm a senator. I'm here for life. Like, as long as I keep getting voted in, I'm good. I'm going to wait out this black man's 8 years because I know I'm good for another 20, right?
Yep.
So they used him for the 4 years. They all think he's an idiot, and they got what they could out of him, and then now the game – Biden won. Their game is still being played. Biden won their game, and now they got to readjust and figure out, okay, did we lose because of this guy or whatever else it is? And they're all starting to turn their back on him. He might still have a couple supporters, but they're turning their back on him.
But the thing is, here's a question. How many, and I know we got to wrap up here. I know Billy June has a lot to do. He's a big guy, busy guy. And everyone has a life. But I have to say this. How many people do you think he would have lost from this week? Like, if he ran for president next week, he got 70 million in November. If he were to run again next week, how many votes would he get?
You're saying less people would vote for him now than what he did?
I do think some less. My question is, how big could the number be?
I mean, it was a tight race, right? Like,
He lost by 10 million. It wasn't tight, but he got 70 million. My point is this. If it was a miracle and the best of America came out and they voted next week, let's play a game for optimism's sake and say he lost 30 million voters. He'd still have 40
I don't even
million
think so. I think
people would
still have 50 million.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
But even if it was 30, 40, 50 million people who are good with what happened, we can no longer ever have the conversations with people who support Trump.
They don't say, I know we got to go. They don't say it's good what happened. They say it wasn't his fault. You know what I'm saying? That's how they get out of it in their own mind. No, it wasn't. Those guys are crazy.
But if you say it wasn't his fault, you're fine. You're kind of fine with what happened, right? Because if you were sickened by it, truly, wouldn't you say, enough's enough. I don't want to be associated with anything near this, right?
It's more of the...
I just can't relate.
More of the Republican stronghold as opposed to... The people that voted for him are Republicans that stick to the Republican. He was the Republican candidate. They voted for the Republican. The Trump fans are different than just an average Republican.
They're different. And there's someone in my life whose father voted for him, doesn't like him, but voted for him. And when I asked, like, how, this person was like, the team he considers himself is Republican. And even though he doesn't like Trump, he hates losing, doesn't want
to
lose.
Right. Not to them.
And I'm
not
like,
to them.
And it's like, but if my team was taken over, if all of a sudden... You know, the Celtics were led by absolute... The whole team was filled with monsters who were criminals and killed people. I might be like, you know, I might need a new team. But they're never... Well, this wasn't the episode we expected, but it needed to be done.
It had to be done. And you know what? I like that it was done.
And shout out to everyone who's liked us. The comments, the reviews, the Patreons. One Ep is dead everywhere. Patreon, social media... I know we haven't earned your trust yet that we're going to be consistent, but damn it, we're on a good path, Sife.
And shout out to everyone that liked the MF Doom 2-part series. That was a big one for me. That was a big one.
I would like you. I know you're never going to do this. I would love for you to listen to the last interview I did on part 2 with his manager.
Okay, I'll do it.
That dude was just the kind of guy, Sife, that you've met at a million shows in your life with an artist. And you were like, yo, you know so-and-so's man? I fuck with that guy. He was just a fucking solid New York. I was told when he wanted to come on that he wanted to correct shit. And I was like, oh, God, here we go. Yo, he came on. He was the best dude. He had the smallest correction that he was like, yo, no, I just wanted to say that. He heard me say on the radio, I told the Just Blaze story about the camera on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that the way it got said, and I don't even know if it was I who said it, it might not have been me who said it, might have been Ebro ad-libbing, that it was like, oh, Doom was like, yo, my bad, you're Just Blaze. Mm-hmm. His little correction, and this is so New York, was like, nah, he wasn't like, oh my God, you're Just Blaze. Like, he was just like, on principle, my bad. Yeah, but he, you know, it was some like, he wasn't on anyone's dick shit.
Yeah, super New York.
But it was, he was a great guest. He told a story about Doom slapping fire out of him at some point, even though he was like 6'4", 300 pounds. It was comedy. It was loving. It was great. So shouts to all of our guests who came on. Super grateful. And super grateful to everyone who listened. So, Sife, go live your life.
I'll catch y'all next time.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.